Former Secretary of Defense Melvin Laird once called the Polaris submarine a priceless asset during the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. Before I continue, how many were here living in Florida in 1962? Raise your hands. Oh, we've got a good crowd here that were back then. The person responsible for the development of this submarine was Rear Admiral William Rayburn Jr. He carefully recruited his top management, and when they came to start the job, he would give his new recruits and their families a patriotic pep talk on the importance of their assignments. On those occasions when it appeared that someone was not doing his best, and I say his because there were no women involved in this particular operation at that time, Admiral Rayburn would call the person into his office for what he termed a rededication. One officer recalled one of those emotional sessions. He said, "When I walked out, I knew it was the moment to die for someone. It didn't matter whether it was for the Admiral, the President, my mother, the head of the Boy Scouts, but brother, I was ready to die if necessary." Now that is what can be termed as enthusiasm. Enthusiasm has been defined as energy that boils over and runs down the side of the pot. One of the unique characteristics of the early church was that they really enjoyed what they were doing and did it with fervor. Missions was the cornerstone of that unification in the early church. But just in case they needed reminded, Paul encouraged them in Romans 9:11 to never be lacking in zeal, but keep their faith in the state of nurturing. This is what is known as enthusiastic faith or godly enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a fragile thing. It can fragment very easily. Charles Lindbergh, the legendary American aviator, recounted the trip home after his successful solo transatlantic flight in 1927. Lindbergh was an international hero and celebrity. When he landed in Paris, the mob scene looked like something out of the French Revolution. No one had ever done what he had completed, flying over a body of water like the Atlantic Ocean. That was probably more significant than landing men on the moon in 1969. It was that monumental and astounding for the whole world. But here, in his own words, Lindbergh said, "Sailing after several days on board ship to return home, I went up on the bridge during a severe storm. I watched it for a while and then thought, I didn't know the sea was so big or vast. If anyone had told me earlier, I wouldn't have tried flying over it." Vince Lombardi, you know, the legendary Green Bay Packers coach, said one time, "If you aren't fired with enthusiasm, then you will be fired with enthusiasm." Lombardi had a lot of good, unique little sayings like that. Enthusiasm pulls people out of the mundane and commonplace, plus makes everyone feel great and even act great. It glows and shines, plus illuminates our faces. Reverend Norman Vincent Peale said, "Enthusiasm does make the difference." Of course, enthusiasm must be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Daily it is to be remembered of those things that keep our faith enthusiastic. And seriously consider the wonderful miracles that God has performed for us. When praying the Lord's Prayer, as we just did, we are given positive reinforcement about God's personal involvement concerning us. In Galatians 5:22, we read of the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the most important characteristics is a three-letter word, J-O-Y, joy. Joy may not be the same thing as enthusiasm, but it is a close relative. One thing that is almost forgotten is positive expectations in the faith. The only time we think that way is it seems is when we're in a dilemma, but that should be the exception and not the standard. We must expect God always to hear and answer our prayers. Never doubt that God will bless your faith and life too. The drudgery of life can get us all down. Do you expect answers to your prayer? We should. When people ask me to pray for them, do I say, okay, I'll do it in 3 weeks? No, I pray for them as soon as possible. People know God will work in their lives. But we have something called doubt. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, it says, Christ says, with faith you could move mountains, but don't throw any doubt in there. It won't happen. But how do you rid yourself of doubt? Well, you have to overcome it with an overwhelming belief that God is going to move for you. That is the secret. Never doubt that God will bless your faith in life too. The drudgery of life can get us all down. With all the negative news, it's very easy to fall into that category of not expecting much. But that is not of God's doing, considering all the good that God does. The question must be, what should we do with all that enthusiasm that we have in our hearts? Well, enthusiasm must be shared toward everyone whom we encounter. One thing which drains such enthusiasm is the idea that we must maintain a popularity rating with everyone. You know, our faith is on shaky ground when it's based on human opinion. If you are expecting, you know, somebody to compliment you all the time, well, you may be in for a disappointment. I've got a friend of the minister, and he goes fishing for compliments. I said, you better be careful. Someone's going to tell you something you don't want to hear one of these days. But the thing is, we cannot rely upon humans to boost ourselves. We have to totally rely upon God to allow that enthusiasm to come through. And our faith, like I said, is on shaky ground when it's based on human opinion. There will be criticism, but getting sidetracked in our love for God should never deter us from the bigger picture. Without God, we are nothing and should do our best to make faith as joyful as possible. Now, that doesn't mean we gloss over life's difficulties, whether it is ourselves or others. However, enthusiasm is never defined as unbridled emotionalism. Such an interpretation can lead people to unsteady and unbalanced thinking, which could bring trouble upon them and everyone else. You know, one of the biggest dreads of the 18th century church was enthusiasts. And what did that mean? Well, I think they were afraid the Methodists were going to come in and influence the churches because they were a little bit more emotionalistic. But today we think, I don't want to get too much enthusiasm. They might expect me to do cartwheels down the aisle. That is not legitimate enthusiasm. Legitimate enthusiasm comes from within. It's nurtured by the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't mean you have to be pretentious or show off about your faith. The most enthusiastic people I ever met were the quiet ones. So relieve yourself of any anxiety that you have to really swing from the chandeliers to show your faith and demonstrate. That's not what it's all about. It's kindling and nurturing that enthusiasm, that love for God, which we should have all the time. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen as regularly as we think. As a reminder, verse 9 said here, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. Yes, don't be a hypocrite with love. How many times have you heard people say, I love you, and you'd rather been hit over the head with a sledgehammer? That happens, doesn't it? Some people will say they love you, but in reality, their actions show otherwise. Be careful about that. Be careful when you tell someone you love them. Make sure that you've got it in the correct order, because people can see through you. That's why it's important to always be transparent to others, because people can read a fake a mile away, and it does happen all the time. Whether it is enthusiasm, patience, prayer, or hospitality, Love must be at the core of it all. It should be clear that love is not sentimentality. True love involves a deep disdain for all that is not good, for evil can never benefit any person who is a child of God. But because of enthusiasm, love and forgiveness will veto bad every time. Think about that. Think about that. You know, if we could do something in our community or our world to change the things, we hear nothing anymore. When people get together for holidays, you hear about these shootings and you hear about all that. That's nothing but evil taking place. Why can't the good come out of things? And that is because a lot of times we don't really look for the good. We always are looking for the bad. What was it Abraham Lincoln that said once, when you look for the bad, guess what? You'll find the bad. When you look for the good, you'll find the good. So look always for the good, not just in the environment around you, but the people that you are with. Everybody has something good about them. Only thing it is, sometimes we have to dig a little deep to find it. But it's there. Don't ever forget that. And because of enthusiasm, as I said, love and forgiveness will veto bad every time. In another epistle, Paul wrote, cling to what is good. Well, the Greek verb for cling is koto. And you know what that the most modern example of to cling is? Super glue or crazy glue. Have you ever accidentally stuck your fingers together with crazy glue or something like that? Boy, it takes a lot to get that stuff off. I've heard of people sticking their lips together with that, and they'd have to go to the emergency room. Now, I don't think they use the jaws of life, but you know what? It takes some procedure, operating procedure, to get those lips unstuck. Be careful with crazy glue. But this is what it means to cling to what is good. Think of it like crazy glue. Put good and crazy glue together, and guess what? You will have a close connection to God, and it's the closest relationship and a permanent one, too. Our attachment to God is a very firm tie. It's not loose informality. Our lives should be committed to the path of goodness and completely focused upon God. It always should be a time of reflection on the depth of our faith. You know, we spend a lot of time evaluating things, but do we ever evaluate our faith? Has it grown much in the past month or year like that? We need to do that. If your faith lacks characteristics such as love, enthusiasm, prayer, even patience, then ask God to purge all mundane, non-essentials, or unimportant distractions to the wind. As a reminder of what the famous composer Salieri said one time, you know, Salieri was a famous Italian composer, a contemporary of Mozart. And, of course, there was a play written about called Amadeus, and in that play, in the movie, they insinuated that Salieri poisoned Mozart. He didn't. He was completely innocent of those charges. But Salieri was also somebody that admired Mozart so much, and he said, compared to Mozart, I am the patron saint of mediocrity. Well, let none of us who claim to be people of faith be found guilty of mediocrity. With God's help, all things are possible. A quote I have used for 30 years, expect the best, and with God's help, you will attain the best. Let us pray. Oh Lord, sometimes in our lives, we are so busy, we tend to neglect our faith. We tend to neglect our faith to the point that there's little enthusiasm left in our lives to do much about it. We pray, let us do evaluations periodically to see where we are in our standing with you. We know you never move away from us, but we move away from you often. Help us, O God, every day to strengthen our faith, to nurture it, to feed it. Whatever it takes, O Lord, guide and lead us in the faith. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.